The purpose of our message today is to exalt our Lord Jesus Christ. The message is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 9 through 20. That's Revelation, chapter 1, verses 9 through 20. Now let's bow for prayer. Lord God Almighty, our Father in heaven, Lord God of grace and mercy, we bow before you in prayer. We give thanks and praise for such a great salvation. Give you thanks and praise for your word in the Bible. And this morning we seek the truth, and we pray that it will be revealed to us in this passage of Scripture. Cause this word, this truth, to get off the page and into our hearts and minds, and make this a tribute to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. The book of Revelation. Notice that the title is The Revelation of Jesus Christ. Many people call it Revelations. It is not Revelations. It is one revelation. The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The revealing of who he is and what he is doing. And so this message becomes all important for us. We could live our life as a Christian and miss the main point, and that is the exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn now to the text as I read from Revelation chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. I, John, both your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. Now, one of the first things we want to pay attention to here is the supreme position of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are seven golden lampstands. These are the seven churches which have been named there in Asia Minor. And the seven golden lampstands are there, and then there are seven stars. And these are the messengers or the pastors of the seven churches. Now, what we notice about his position is that he is in the midst. Verse 13. And in the midst, in the presence of the seven lampstands is the Son of Man, the Son of God. This is his supreme position. Where is it? In the local church, in the church in Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, and so on, representative of the local church throughout history. I say to you today that the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the local church. The local church cannot be replaced. It is the center of God's heart and interest. And without the local church, there would be no missions. There would be not the outreach of Christianity, the support of other churches. Basically, by and large, Christian teachers, preachers, missionaries are raised in a local church, supported by the local church and sent out. It was from the local church in Antioch that the Holy Spirit sent out Paul and Silas on their ministry. The local church is the center of God's attention. This also brings to mind the local pastor. The stars are the messengers or the angels, and the word angel means messenger. The local pastor in a local church. And I want to remind you again today of the reality of what takes place in our country. Up and down the West Coast, across the West and the Midwest, and into the East, and along the Eastern Seaboard, and down all across the South, are thousands of local churches, under 100 in attendance, with a local pastor who works day and night and lives with the people, who watches them as they grow, who gives them premarital counseling, who is with them in their wedding, who is with them in the birth of their children, who is with them in their trials and sufferings and joys, who is with them in the death of the family, the local pastor, working in these small churches all across America. That is the ministry. And that's where the Lord is. In the midst of his churches, his presence is there. And so John gives us this message. Now, then, in verse 12, he said, I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. John sees the lampstands, the seven churches. And then John hears the voice, the trumpet-like voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we seek to exalt him, we need to know who he is and what he is doing. He is the one described here by John. As John sees and hears, he sees him in the middle of his churches, and he hears his voice, a trumpet-like voice. In verse 13, we see his glorious attire, robed in majesty as a king. He will no longer ever ride on a donkey, and he will no longer ever be seen in suffering. He is robed in his royal attire as the king of kings. And now in verse 14, we see his sinless character. His head and his hair were like wool, white like wool, as white as snow. Our Lord Jesus Christ is pure. He is holy. He is the standard of holiness. The standard of holiness is not the law given to the Jews. It is not the Ten Commandments. The standard of holiness is Christ himself. And if we want to bring the gospel to unbelievers and cause them to be convicted of sin, we primarily bring them to Christ and reveal to them his sinless character, his perfect holiness. And his holiness means that he is totally different, totally other. He is different than we are. He has no sin. And John is revealing this. His supreme position, his glorious attire, his sinless character. And then in verse 14, we read, his eyes like a flame of fire. His searching gaze, the laser beam penetrating, uncovering, exposing every detail. There is no place to hide. There is no place to hide our thoughts. And it's interesting that as we read these seven letters to the seven churches, that over and over again is this phrase where Jesus said, I know. I know your good things. I know your bad things. I know what you lack. And today, our Lord Jesus Christ is looking at his churches. He is looking at us. He is looking at me with a laser beam penetrating gaze. He knows every detail. His eyes as a flame of fire. In verse 15, we read about his righteous judgment. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. Red hot feet, speaking of holy wrath, rage against evil. This is the avoided doctrine today. We don't hear much about the wrath of God, the judgment of God. The judgment of God against sin. It isn't popular. And we don't grow big churches by speaking about the judgment and wrath of God. But it is symbolized here in verse 15. His righteous judgment with his feet as like in the furnace, refined in the furnace with brass. And so this message of judgment he brings to these seven churches, and he brings to us today his righteous judgment. And then John goes on to speak of his voice. His mighty voice is described as a trumpet, and in verse 15, his voice as the sound of many waters. His voice like the waves crashing on the rocks with a deafening roar. What does it say? It speaks of the power of his word. In Genesis we read, and God said, and there was light, and God said, and God said. Not only his voice, but his will behind his voice, bringing about his own purpose. And then he is described as one having this sharp sword, his discipline. This is the description of our Lord Jesus Christ, who he is and what he is doing. His shining splendor, face like the sun, brilliant light. And John fell at his feet. John fell on his face. Is this what we see today? Have we ever seen the Lord Jesus Christ like this? What would happen if he walked into our room now? What would be our response? Fall on your face with conviction, with repentance, and with reverence, and with speechless worship. Now, I want to say today that there are many, many now who are on television and who are writing books and making movies claiming that the Lord Jesus Christ has come into their room or they have seen him. And the amazing thing is that they say that they hear him speaking. And God spoke to me. And then they get into trivial debate and argument. This is beyond all that I could fathom as to how they could make this claim. If anyone ever saw the Lord Jesus Christ today, this is what they would see. The Lord described here, revealed here in Revelation 1. Blinded by his splendor, deafened by his voice, convicted by his flaming eyes. No, our Lord Jesus Christ does not reveal himself privately to people today. What he has said to his church. And the Lord does not tell me or any other believer private information. What we need to know is in his word, the Bible. If we want to see him as he really is, we read Revelation 1 through 20. And as we read Revelation 1 through 20, We see him by faith, and we fall on our face in speechless worship. And then John experiences a refreshing peace. As he is there on his knees, falling at the Lord's feet, an amazing thing takes place. The Lord touches him. He laid his right hand on me. Do not be afraid. The touch of grace. When Jesus saw a blind man, he touched him. When Jesus saw a deaf man, he touched him. When Jesus saw the lepers, he touched them. More importantly, he sees sinful you and me and has touched us. What a refreshing peace came to John. And what a great moment comes to us when he touches us. And then the Lord gives John a commission. Write my message to the seven churches. Not your message, John. Write my message. This is my word. And this is what must be communicated. And so as we see the risen, wonderful, glorious Lord Jesus Christ, we fall on our face in speechless worship. And we wait for his touch upon us. And then we rise to go out and live out his word, his message. Not our word, not our message. How much today the church needs to see who the Lord really is and what he is doing. He is in the midst of his churches, and he has his message to the churches. And this is the revelation. This is what the book is about. If we get into the book of Revelation and we get all concerned about when is he coming and what are all these events about, we can miss the main purpose of the book. The purpose of the book of the Revelation is to reveal the resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. And here he is before us. Read Revelation chapter 9 through 20, chapter 1 verses 9 through 20, and see him by faith and fall on our face and worship and serve him. May the Lord grant it to be so. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture, which brings us to the reality of our glorified Lord Jesus Christ. And we here today, and as our friends listen to this tape, we want to fall on our face in worship and be speechless before you and experience your touch and to hear your voice and to experience your grace and your commission to us to speak the word of God. Grant it to be so. By the power of the Holy Spirit, touch our lives today with this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.